WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The U.S. is getting older. That's according to census data. In 2020, one in six people were 65 years or older. As we get older, it's important to consider how and where we'll be taken care of as daily tasks become more and more difficult. Some turn to community or assisted living. Others opt for in-home care. Others pack their bags and move in with other family members. To learn more about what it's like to help care for our aging loved ones, I sat down with two caregivers to discuss their experiences. Susan Clifford, who's a Reset newsletter reader, and Ariana Maloney. Ariana is a caregiver for her mother, so I started by asking her what her mother is like. Here she is.
Oh, man. What a wonderful, wonderful woman. She raised three of us. She was widowed pretty early on in her early 40s and raised us without my dad, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just phenomenal woman, super self-sufficient, independent, beauty queen in her own rights. She was always into cosmetology and looking beautiful and pageants and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Always instilled in us, you know, to value our education and to be high achievers, my brothers and I.
Yeah. And
so
wonderful.
It was incredibly devastating to start to see those behavioral changes.
Yeah, I noticed you light up as soon as I asked you to describe her, but get into that for us, the changes. You started to notice her behavior shift about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's
what was
correct.
Happening?
So I went to grad school here in downtown Chicago at Loyola Chicago School of Law. And so I commuted. I wanted to save a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. I know we all know that law school and graduate programs can be incredibly expensive.
Absolutely.
And so I decided to commute from home, which is on the south side of Chicago. And so I would have my mother pick me up from the train station pretty late at night after classes. And I would notice that, let's say she had to make a right turn to go down the street where we lived on, she'd start making left turns. And I was like, Mom, you know, we don't go left, we go right. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like those little subtle differences and subtle changes that I noticed in her decision making. And so she was pretty good at masking some of like the other things that she was having a little bit more difficulty with, a little bit more confusion about. She was good at masking it. You know, she's a mother of three, you know, still trying to manage, you know, being a mother.
But still you were noticing.
Yeah.
This is not you.
Yeah. Some things that you just can't hide. Like, yeah. Mom, like you've been taking care of us for so long by yourself. Like, mm-hmm. you know.
So when did you actually become her caregiver?
I'd say I've been managing her affairs. So prior to like the caregiving part, there's also like the financial responsibility component.
Because again, you're taking this on.
I'm taking this on
while you're
grad
in law
school. I'm in law school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was astounding. Like I often tell people that law school is hard, but my personal life was even harder because my mom wasn't paying bills anymore. Like we were facing a foreclosure. We were facing, I mean, just these really, really like major financial hardships. So I'd say in terms of like caregiving is not just, my mom is bed bound now. So part of my caregiving journey has, I mean, it's just transformed in so many ways over time. So originally it was like her business affairs and her financial affairs. And then it's transformed into managing her day-to-day
ability,
her health and, you know, her day-to-day activities. And it's transformed again. You know, like that's just like the winding road of being a caregiver. You have to go with the care. You have to go with the changes. You have to be flexible and adaptable. And oftentimes when you join some of the caregiver support groups, they will emphasize that you have to step into the world of the person who is suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
You meet them where they are. And as you meet them where they are, that challenges you to adapt and to change and to be flexible and to try to, you know, meet your loved one's needs when they need, you know, at the time that they need something.
And that's a lot of responsibility.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Susan, let's bring you in here. You have been a caregiver for different family members at different points in your life. Who have you helped take care of?
I think it started out with my my husband's parents in the late 2000s. One was experiencing dementia and failing health, and my mother-in-law was trying to take care of her husband on her own. But it became apparent that it was not as easy as it should have been. And my husband is one of a family of eight children. And they were each trying to corral together as a large group of family members to manage their parents' health. And that in it of itself created some challenges because we all have our own opinions about what's best for our parents, et cetera. And sometimes that would create some conflict. Mm-hmm. Then I moved into kind of an assistant role because I live in Chicago. My mother and my aunt both lived in North Carolina. And so my sister became the primary caretaker, but our family dynamics were a lot improved. But similar to earlier, you know, discussion, my sister and I would share in starting to manage financial situations, mm-hmm. definitely attending physician things as they became more frail. But both my mother and my aunt were very well cognitively, just their bodies started to give out.
Okay.
And so that's a challenge in and of itself because they have a lot of sense of frustration with seeing their abilities decline, et cetera.
And we know there are different options for long-term care. There's everything from part-time in-home caregivers. You've got nursing homes, and you got everything in between. Susan, is it safe to assume there wasn't one option that was like a one-size-fits-all solution for each of your loved ones?
That's correct. I think my mother was well enough to take care of herself up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So we started gradually working her into, she did not want to go to a facility. She wanted to be at home. And so we started with part-time care, just helping with groceries and, you know, house cleaning and things of that nature while she was still capable of doing a lot of her day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm.
And as her health, you know, failed, it became progressively more until we got to a point where you were with 24/7 care. And at the end stage of her life, we had to make a decision about when is the right time to move into hospice care because she was obviously experiencing a lot of anxiety with her health conditions and the effect that it had on her breathing. She had congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
And breathing became difficult for her, so that created a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ariana, your mother lives at home with you, right?
That's correct.
So you decided that that was going to be the best option for you both. Why? Because I know that it's only just in the last couple of years that you started looking into at least getting help.
Yes, that's correct. So I'd say that when my mother raised us, she said that, you know, we don't believe in putting our family in homes. So that's something
I've heard that before.
I was, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, we cared for my grandmother until she passed and we had her at home with us as well. So it's something that's always been sort of ingrained in mm-hmm. me. Now, as I've gotten older and as my grandmother, my mother had different health challenges, there are different considerations, right? Mm-hmm. So with my mother's dementia, if I'm being completely honest, at the time I've considered a memory care unit, I just was not happy with what I saw. I wasn't satisfied. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that I wouldn't have felt comfortable. I think I would even have felt guilty.
Turning my mother over for care
when, unfortunately, one of the facilities, I won't name it, but, you know, when I visited them, you could hear residents, you know, yelling for help, and they were not being attended to. And while it is a huge sacrifice, both emotionally and physically, to take care of your loved one at home, it's one that I'm willing to make for my mom.
Yeah.
Like, she deserves it all. And as long as I have the ability to manage her care at home, so long as she's safe and she's comfortable and she's happy,
yeah,
then that's what that's the decision that my family and I are most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into cost, because that's a huge factor in whether something is going to work for a family or not. How much does it cost? So give listeners a sense of just how expensive things can get, Ariana.
Sure. I think when you Google it, I want to say when I Googled this and was considering memory care unit for my mom, it was on average $6,000 to $7,000 a month.
Wow.
Just to...
To hire a caregiver?
No, to have my mom move into an actual unit outside of the house.
Gotcha.
Outside of the house.
Wow, that's pricey.
It is. Oh, it's astronomical.
That's pricey.
And not sustainable. It's not feasible. On the other side of things, so the option that we've gone with so far is having help come into the home. And those hourly rates can be up to $36 an hour, depending on your loved one's needs. So the more complex health issues that your loved one has, the more expensive private pay can be.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Susan, anything to add there?
I would agree with Ariana. It is very expensive. And, you want to see that both sides of the equation are treated fairly. And sometimes I feel like the options of sourcing, for example, in-home care is a challenge, because what you pay to the provider that actually is the employer for the individual that comes into the home, mm-hmm, is taking their own cut of it. And so you wonder, how fair it is of the system, living wage kinds of considerations and things like that, that nature.
People can use long-term care insurance to pay for some services that your average health plan doesn't cover. Have either of you looked into that?
I can go ahead.
Sounds like you both have. Ariana, go ahead.
Yes. So at the time that, by the time I started managing my mom's affairs and looked into long-term care insurance, she just wouldn't have passed the medical exam.
Oh, okay.
By itself. They do
so
have to
that was
do
an
underwrite.
Automatic,
it just wasn't
no.
an option at that at mm-hmm. the time that I started managing her care.
Susan, what about you?
Yeah, I was lucky enough that my mother, she was a teacher, and that was one of the benefits that they offered her. And so she did have a long-term care policy. And she was somewhat reluctant to start claiming it, because if she didn't make a claim on her policy, she got all of her premiums back. But we finally convinced her that, you have this for a reason, and this is the reason. And so we did take advantage of that.
Mm.
It's a challenge to manage that, because you obviously have to pay the provider first and then get reimbursed. And sometimes the waiting period for that starting, along with the administrative processing errors that take on that delay payment, et cetera, it would be sometimes 2 and 3 months after you had made payment to actually get reimbursed from the long-term care policy.
Yeah. And I want to just drive home more on how expensive this can be, right? So according to Genworth's cost of care survey, the annual median costs in the Chicago area in 2023, so home health aides were $78,936, adult day health care, $25,480, assisted living facilities, $78,000, semi-private rooms in a nursing home, $104,000, private rooms, 142,000. And now when it comes to the long-term care policies, depending on which one you have, it could cover nursing home care, personal care at home, a stay in assisted living facilities, and adult daycare. But there are just a lot of stipulations, of course, that come with that, that may or may not work for your family. So after everything, what would you say has been the most difficult part of being a caregiver, Ariane?
I think the watching the decline, you know, the adjectives that I described my mother with initially, self-sufficient, I mean, just always just such
fashionista,
a fashionista, full of life, just always took pride in her appearance and who she was. So to see that person, my mother who raised me and did a wonderful job with my brothers and myself, to see that decline. Mm. I mean, it is absolutely, sometimes I've described it as being heartbroken every day, especially since she lives with me and I see it, you know, I see it every day.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I kind of want to add the other side of that. So there's a positive to it too. And it's something, a revelation that I've made more recently in this caregiving journey, which is that it is an honor and a privilege for me to take care of her. And the fact that I can, myself and my brothers and other folks who help when I call, the fact that we can provide her a clean, safe, loving environment where she can smile, she can laugh. She can, you know, say thank you. You know, we can sing. I'd like to play music for her. So music therapy is a really, really big helper.
Yeah.
The fact that I can provide that sort of space for her is priceless.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world.
Susan, how would you advise people listening to better prepare for these times? Because it's going to happen to all of us. We're all aging, right?
Yes, we are. I think it's important you speak in advance with a parent or a loved one who you might be the caregiver for, but also it's important to talk about the experiences that you have had with your children or other people that might be the ones who would take care of you. I know that it was very important during my mother's last couple of months of her life that one of my sons was able to go to North Carolina and stay with me there and be with her because he was very close to her. And it was just a very special moment for him. And so thinking about and preparing for your own self, making people aware of what your hopes are, because you never know when this moment is going to come upon you as an individual. Mm-hmm. And so being prepared for that in advance, I think is very important.
I'll give you a quick last word, Ariana, for folks listening who might end up being caregivers themselves.
I'd like to add on to what she was just saying. So getting your POA forms in order, your property, your power of attorney for property, your power of attorney for healthcare are crucial forms that I've had to utilize throughout my caregiving journey because a lot of times they want to speak to the loved one. And sometimes it's so odd to have to say, like, you know, actually my mom can't really speak for herself. You know, I am her representative and they are often, well, what documentation do you have to support that?
Yeah, that's so important. Thank you.
So your POA forms are so, so crucial. Like the talking about someone's wishes, their final wishes, because at a point in the dementia journey, you know, they don't have the ability to say what their wishes are. So just having those tough but necessary conversations while their cognition is still there is so crucial.
We've been talking to Ariana Maloney and Susan Clifford about their experiences being caregivers for their loved ones. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us.
So welcome. You're so welcome.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss another one. We also have a wonderful newsletter. You can subscribe and check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.